says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then it says that as a summary statement. Then it backs up to tell us how things happened. It said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, can you get an image of that? It's just darkness. There's nothing's formed, and it's void. And when I hear the word void, I'm thinking about void of purpose, void of intent, void of anything intentional. It was just matter. And the Spirit of God was hovering as if waiting. And the Bible says, and God said, a word came from the very mouth of the Father. And whatever was said propelled the Holy Spirit into action. And things were formed. Things were created. And everything became very purposeful from the very heart and mind of God because he spoke. Tonight we've come. God's going to speak. Can you imagine the Spirit of God hovering over this place, just waiting for a word from the Father? And when the word of God is declared, things start getting formed. Things are created. Things that are void all of a sudden start to have purpose. Intentionality comes to our life because the Lord is speaking. So that song, I think, was so appropriate. We need to welcome him so that whatever he wants to form in us, whatever needs to be created in us, whatever purpose needs to be established in us, whatever essence of God that needs to be imparted, that the Holy Ghost can do that. So while you're still standing, just lift your hands and you personally invite him into this experience. Hallelujah. Come on, with a heart of faith. With a heart of faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We receive you, Lord. We receive you into this place. We receive you into this experience tonight, Lord. We don't want church without you. We don't want a gathering where your spirit is not welcomed and you're not moving, Lord God. We didn't come to hear a man, but we came to hear our Heavenly Father speak tonight. And Lord, we want to be that formless, voidless matter that's waiting to be shaped by you. And Lord, we want to be just like every other created thing, that we give honor to our Creator. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Go ahead and greet the person next to you before you sit down. God's going to do something very special in their life tonight. He's already doing it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, in the interest of time, we're going to jump right into, we are going to continue what we started on Sunday. So the title of this message tonight is The Gift of Love 2. The Gift of Love Part 2. And I want to start tonight with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse, starting with verse 1, he says, if I speak with the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all mysteries and all, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, And if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love, it does not envy. It does not boast. It is proud. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. And then verse 13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we're talking about the gift of love. And we learned in the last session that a gift is something you have to receive. Amen? And that we can't give what we haven't received. So if we try to love without receiving love from God, then we're loving without love. And that kind of love, it falls short. It's a self-serving love. It strangles. It takes life out of people. It constrains. It oppresses. No matter how good the intent is, our love is just not good enough. We're not perfect, but we can have a perfect love because that love can come from God. And when we receive the love of God, then we love with a perfect love. And that love actually builds people. That love gives life. That love is life-giving. And I like the way verse 7 says, and this was the NIV I was reading from. It said, it always protects. Love always protects. Think about people you say you love. Do your words, do your actions always protect them? Always trust. It always hopes. Love is never at a place of hopelessness. But real love inspires us to believe beyond what we see and what we can touch, what we call our reality at that moment. Real love will take us past that. So when God pours his love out on a people, let me expand that. When God pours his love out on a people group, on a nation, then that nation then becomes inspired. They're filled with hope. It goes beyond the economics of the nation. See, it doesn't matter if by man's standard we call it a third world nation, or it doesn't matter. When the love of God is made known, when the people receive God's love, there is hope in the hearts. Hope for life everlasting. When your hope goes beyond this life, then you're not bothered about what's happening in this life. Because you're not living for what you can get out of this life. Your motivation for living begins to transcend your present reality. When the love of God is poured out on a nation or a people group, then there's something that preserves those people. They're preserved. I'm not going to do a history lesson, but it's amazing how Israel, being such a small nation, and with all the conflict and wars that's around them and even levied against them, somehow, some way, they've been preserved. If you look at it on paper, they probably should be annihilated. I'm talking about completely. But they're preserved. That's the hope that God brings to every nation. And he's called us, Cross Culture, to not just be concerned with what's happening in our life and in our family and what we're trying to get for us. Though that's important because we have to take care of our affairs. But he's called us together as an assembly, and he's poured his love in us and given us vision for the nations. And I believe what the Lord wants me to do tonight is to help remind us who we are and what we've been called to. And then I want to encourage you. Let us not be weary in well-doing. My wife and I was talking earlier. See, I know very well who I'm talking to tonight. This is literally preaching to the choir. But you're the ones that God are speaking to. Don't get weary in doing the good stuff. Please, don't get weary. Don't slack up now. This is not a time to pull back. He says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. What are we hoping to reap? Souls. Different nations, different people groups, people from all kinds of places receiving the love of God and becoming a difference maker. And so this year he's even making it a little more poignant. He says, and I want you to be an agent so that we can exert some godly influence. That's not separate from what he said all those other years. The call of God on us is still the same. So I was looking at, my wife showed me some, we were looking at some videos, some of the CCC videos. Here I go. I didn't even know that there's a CCC YouTube channel. Y'all knew that already? Okay. Carmel looking at me like, okay, okay, Pastor Greg. Yeah, I didn't know that. Of course, I've seen a video or two, but I didn't know that you can go to a spot and just see like a playlist, just videos. And we must have spent about 2 hours or more just watching. I'm not talking about the messages. That's available online as well. But I'm talking about videos that we've used for different things. I saw all kinds of stuff. And I said, I wish I could just play all of this because I believe God is saying something. And so I want to have one play tonight. I just chose one. And I'm praying that you will see it through fresh eyes. I'm sure these are images you've seen. There are things that you've seen. But back away from the specific images and look at the big picture. And let's see through some fresh eyes. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help you to have the kind of insight that he gave me. And even beyond that, because I believe he wants to do something fresh in us tonight. And then we'll talk about it some. So if we can start the video now. You know, it's easy to sit back and complain, make judgments about things you don't understand, to be critical, even to wonder if it's worth, you know, what you see, all the activities sometimes, it's just all the stuff that's happened through the years. But man, can I tell you, I don't think we're going to know how much of a blessing and a gift he is until he's not with us anymore. This is not common. There are ministries that have much larger budgets and can do so much more. But look at how the Lord has used this man and what's in his heart that's been conveyed. Do you remember him saying in the video, he said, I impart to you so that you can go and share with others. And that's sort of what I want to talk about a little, very briefly as we close. The title of this message, as I said, is The Gift of Love. And I need us to understand, and I pray that by the Holy Ghost, we can do that, that we can understand that God imparts, he gives a gift, the gift of his love. And once we receive that gift, then we are empowered to give to others. Nate talked about that in his testimony. And sometimes when we hear the word gift, we think about talents and our abilities. That's not what I'm talking about. First of all, the scripture says that God is love. So when God pours his love out on us, he's giving us himself. So that when we're filled with his love and the very presence and essence of God, we embody that That's what the scripture is talking about, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Us going is giving legs so that Jesus can do the ministry. We're just a part of the team. We're just a part, we're privileged to be a part of what he's doing. Man, and we didn't even, in this video, I thank God for Sandra and the media department. That was excellent. And it didn't even cover everything. I mean, you talk about, you know, I think it started with maybe like some of the campus ministry and then CMU and then, you know, to the young adults, real life. But even the youth ministry at this church, the children's ministry, what happens back in that preschool nursery, our connection groups. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. But where does it all come from? See, it's not just activity. It's not just activity. What you see happening, all of that ministry, is the response to having received God's love. Pastor Walker he's committed, man. He's committed to go before God. He don't give us canned messages and leftover stale stuff. He seeks the face of God. So when he comes with a rhema word, it's just like what we read in Genesis. The Lord speaks and the Holy Ghost begins to form and shape. And he begins to deal with all of us. Every one of us, God wants to use us in ways that we can't even imagine. And the reason we can't imagine it because some of it hadn't taken shape yet. Because when we sit under the word, Christ himself is being imparted. When we pray, there's a dynamic exchange where we share our heart, but Jesus is giving us himself. When we worship, we behold him and he imparts himself. You saw what happened with Moses on the mountain when he went, was it Mount Sinai? And the Father wrote the Ten Commandments in the tablets. But that engagement, he came off that mountain glowing because he had been with God. That's what he does. Every time we come, we cannot let this become common. This is what happens when people engage God. We take him on. And his glory rests on us. You can't see it so easily because, you know, we're so attached to this natural realm that we're always looking for something in the physical. But there's something that we carry by virtue of the quality of God's presence that we experience. And it makes a difference everywhere you go. And you see all those heroes, that's what I want to call them. All of those people, it's you. People, regular people that just receive the word and the Holy Ghost forms something in you. And then you step up and go, you know, I need to. And we start getting, you know, launched into different initiatives. But it's the love that we receive. It's the gift. It's the gift of God's love. And that's why I started there on Sunday. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. The initial and the evidence that we've received love, the real love, the God kind of love. Not that love we talk about when we talk about I love pizza and I love hot wings and roller coasters and going to the mountains. Not that. But it's that love that comes from his heart. When we receive that, what you're going to do, not what you try to do or what we need to work on, The response is you're going to give. But what are we giving? And so tonight what we saw in the video was really just a practical application for what happens as we receive his love. It comes out in ministry. I'm not talking about talents. I'm talking about what we give to serve others. And we impart the very life that has saved us. I wrote something down that I want to share because I didn't know how to articulate. And I felt like I was really coming short. And the Lord helped me. And it's this. Well, let me tell you what I sort of understood, and I believe the Lord was giving me, but I didn't know how to articulate it. So when I say it, it doesn't really come across as clearly, I don't think. And it's this. I said, real love is not an action based on what's convenient for me, but it's based on what honors the object of my affection. You get that? Real love is not an action or activity that's based on what pleases me or what's convenient, what I can manage, but it's always sacrificial. It will always be based on how much I want to, how much honor I'm conveying to the one that I say I love. And that's what Jesus did. That's what the Father did, first of all. He so loved that he gave his only son. It was his only. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to let my only son die. We'll find something else we can use to satisfy that sin debt. No. No, it wasn't based on what would please his heart. It pleased his heart because what he did was honored us. It was what added value or demonstrated how valuable we were. And then Jesus in tow did the same thing. You know, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there's any way, is there another plan? Or can we satisfy this sin debt some other way? And after he prayed it through and processed it, he came to this conclusion that nevertheless, it's not what's convenient for me. I would rather not have to suffer. I would rather not have to die a sinless death, to be beaten and bruised, take on all the sin of the world. I would rather not have to do that, to be separated from you, hang on Calvary's cross. But nevertheless, not what I want, but your will be done. And what is his will? He says, I love them. I love them so much. I gave you. And Jesus says, I love them so much that I'm giving my life. Love has to be the foundation for all the activity. If we're doing stuff and love is not the motivation, let me tell you, prayer becomes boring. Church becomes a chore. Bible study becomes drudgery. Going out to do ministry becomes an imposition. If love is not the motivation. And so I want to say what I said before, but I'm going to say it differently. Listen to this. Every action that God does on our behalf is an act of his love. Can I say that again? Every action that God does on our behalf is an act of love. If we get that and receive that, it changes everything. Because when we lack something and we pray for God to come through, I'm just trying to keep it real practical for us. Lord, I need this job. Or Lord, I need this to work out. I need it, whatever it is. And we come through. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on the provision. And we praise because he's a provider. And he is Jehovah Jireh. No, I'm not. There's no doubt about that. He is that. But that's not what you got. What you got was his love. And when you get his love, you get everything that he is. Because when he provided for you, what he gave you was not the provision. He gave you his love. Every action that he does on our behalf is an act of love. So what we should be seeking is to get the love. These three, faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest is love. In fact, if we prophesy, if we feed the hungry, if we outreach, if we sing in the choir, whatever we do and have not love as that foundation, we've gained nothing. It was just busyness. It doesn't even minister to him because it has to be a response to what he pours into us. Every act that he does is an act of love. So guess what? Every action that we make needs to be an act of love. Your faithfulness, not motivated by love, is mechanical. You get no points for coming to church on Wednesday night. But when you love him, you can't wait to be here. You understand the difference? Is prayer a duty, or is it a conversation with somebody you're incredibly in love with? Where he wants us to be is that everything we do comes from a place of love. So, you know, I'm all over the place because I just wanted to take advantage of the time. So I didn't do everything. I want to say it like I wrote it. I'm sorry. Okay. So love has to be the foundation. So if we're not doing the work, all that activity we saw up there, if you're not engaged in that, I'm not talking about what we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but if you're not engaged in the work now, if you're not involved in the work or supporting it, if you're not serving others, then perhaps there's a love deficit. This is not an accusation. I think we need to assess ourselves, because I think sometimes when our hearts are toward the Lord, we ask ourselves, or we ask the Lord, why don't I have, I'm not motivated to do? You understand? Why am I not? I used to. Why am I? Perhaps there's a love deficit. What am I talking about? We have to, not just at salvation, but we have to live in such a way that we are receiving the love of God. Because when we receive his love, we're empowered to give. And that giving looks like what? All that stuff we saw on the video. So my word to you tonight, my encouragement is, don't get weary in your way of doing. And I don't mean get busy doing stuff. We have to make sure that we stay at his feet. We used to sing that song, "Down at your feet. Oh, Lord, it's the most high place." You know why? Because at his feet, there's a download. And he's pouring his love in us. And his love purifies our heart, purifies our intentions, purifies our motives, and it gives us some want to. Let me tell you, anybody that you're thinking about being a blessing to tomorrow on Valentine's, this American holiday, you're motivated to do what you do if you love them. And if you don't really love them, then you're not as motivated. You'll do less. Now, I know that you're going to say, well, it's my ability. I can't do all I want to do. Listen, you'll find a way. It might not be something you have to spend money on, but you will find a way to give. Because real love will always give. And that giving is always going to be sacrificial. If it's real love, if it's the God kind of love, and if it don't cost you something, then you might be loving them with your love, and that's not going to be good enough. It won't keep them. It won't meet their need. It won't do anything for you. And whatever it does is going to be short-lived. The Lord wants us to return to a place that we come before him with expectation. I'm talking about every time we gather, every service, every prayer, every time you turn on your radio and start singing in the car, when you come out the shower and you sing, when you wake up in the morning and you put your feet on the floor, you go, thank you, Jesus. That we do it not out of regiment, but out of a love relationship. Because when we're open to receiving his love and he pours his love in us, he's conveying Christ himself. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. He's imparting Christ to us. He's pouring. We're receiving the Lord. And when we receive him, we might not walk around like Moses did with a glow. In fact, I don't even want that glory, because it was a fading glory. He had to wear a veil over his face because he didn't want the people to see that it was fading. Oh, but we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. And the love of God does not fail. It don't wax cold. It don't run out. You can't exhaust it. And it's tangible. You receive his love just like you receive a gift. And when we receive his love, something happens in us. And it ain't the warm, gooby-gooby feeling in our skin, but it's in our spirit. I'm telling you, if we don't maintain that place, then we're just doing some activity. We didn't get to where we are as a ministry because we had a bunch of talented people. It's because we've been in a place for the last 39 years where God has been pouring out his love. And as we received it, we begin to give. So don't get weary. Man of God, woman of God, don't get weary in your well-doing. Keep receiving the love of God. Keep drinking of his presence, knowing that every moment you spend with him is never a moment wasted. Every intimate exchange you have with God is never a waste of your time. But you're receiving something. Can I tell you right now, as we're here, even this, I'm talking about right now, tonight, February the 13th, 2019, he's pouring his love in our hearts for those that will receive. Now, see, that's what I'm fully aware of, is that we can be in the same place and God is pouring out his love, but everybody ain't receiving. Everybody's not receiving his love. But when our hearts are open to him to receive, do you know that he's filling you now for a draw that you don't even know is coming? It may be next month. It may be in June. It may be 6 months from now. But it's this constant pouring in of his love that equips you so that when you meet that one, or you stand on that platform, or you have that opportunity, or that day shows up, that the very glory of God that's residing in you begins to shine forth. And it brings light to dark places. We meet people every day that they live under a cloud of darkness. It's dark, and their life is dark. They don't have hope. But when they meet you, when they meet us, they're supposed to have an encounter with light. But if we don't receive the love of God, and love is not the foundation for our hello, then there's no light to show. There's no light to give. There's no help. So don't get weary. Don't get tired. Don't say, well, you know, nothing ain't really happening for me right now, or it's not like there's a big demand on me. Please don't let that become a discouragement. We need to be ye also ready. And can I tell you, not just for ready for how God might use us, but oh my God, we're the people that just enjoy the journey. We just enjoy being with him. We just want to be in his presence, because in his presence is fullness of joy. We have to empty ourselves. Empty ourselves of what? Of self-love, self-focus, a self-driven perspective of life, where it's about me, mine, and getting ahead and acquiring what I can. And, you know, yes, we have to live, but oh my, that's not why you're on earth. We were created for his pleasure. You were created as a worship unto him. And there's a day coming when we're going to leave this place and we're going to be before him forever, worshiping him. We got to keep our focus right. The Bible says that as the days draw near, even the very elect will be deceived. We start embracing the wrong thing. We come into church for the wrong reason. We're looking for the wrong thing out of this experience. We just wrong. But we don't want to be deceived. A love relationship with the Lord is what protects us, if you will, guards us against deception. Got to guard our heart with all diligence. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. I'm done. But would you just, right where you are, just lift your hands. I just want to pray. Father, Jesus, fill us with your love. Lord, let that love that you pour in us take us beyond a feeling, but bring us into a reality of who you are and whose we are. As you pour your love in our hearts, oh God, please reaffirm your ownership. It's one thing for us to say, you're my Lord, but it's another thing for you to say, you're my child. Mark us, oh God. And Lord, give us that kind of love that'll keep us. Keep us, Lord, against temptation, against distractions, against marginalism, Lord God. Give us the love that will cause us to be so anchored in you that we can say what Paul said. We said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Oh God, that we would really come to that place, that resolve of saying that nothing's more important. Not just out of our mouth, but the way we live, Lord, the choices we make every day, that we demonstrate that there's nothing more important than you. And Lord, we know that every action that you make towards us is an act of love, even when that action is correcting us, even when that action is chastening us. Lord, we want to love your correction. We want to love your chastening, oh God, because we know that it's your love. It's for our protection. It's for our good. And so we receive right now. We receive right now your love, Lord, to heal all of our brokenness, to heal the fragments of our heart, oh God. We receive your love right now, oh God, to make our thoughts right, to cause our mind to be right, Lord. We receive your love, oh God, to cause our footsteps to be right in order of you. We receive your love, Lord, to make us whole in every way. Oh God, we receive your love so that our words don't hurt and damage other people. That even when we have the best of intentions, sometimes it hurts. Lord God, we receive your love so that our words will add value. It will heal. It will encourage. It will inspire others. And Lord, we're not receiving love just so we can love our family better, but we want your love, Lord, so that we can do what you call us to do, and that's to impact nations for the glory of God. Thank you, Lord, that the love that we receive from you, it goes past the American experience, that it's more than culturally relevant, but it transcends nationality and ethnicities, and it can reach every heart, any heart. In the name of Jesus.